My special guest today is Andrew Jackson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services at the Department of Interior. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, let's start with some basics. You are not my typical guest. You are not a Chief Information Officer. However, you do have a big, big role in the oversight of technology. So give me some basics. Describe your role as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services.
My position is a new position. This administration created my position here at the department. The idea that they wanted to have a closer link between the political leadership of the department and some of the really important initiatives that we have going on in both IT and in some of our centralized shared services here at the department.
So you are a political appointee, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then you also, beyond technology, the information and business services, what does that include? Because I was talking with someone earlier and they said it even includes everything from cafeteria to counseling to other things.
In a sense, it's cats and dogs, but there is a method to the madness. The information refers to our geospatial information officer who is part of my portfolio. I also have the National Business Center, which is the Department of Interior shared service provider. It provides things like facilities management. That's how the cafeteria comes in. Aviation management, financial management, HR, payroll. We perform payroll for a sizable chunk of the federal workforce, actually.
Everything has that technology component to it. I mean, I know from the National Business Center there, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit later, they're big into cloud computing, the HR line of business, the FM line of business, or whatever it's called now under this administration. So I imagine that that's where that technology comes in as well. Because it kind of is marbled through everything else you were responsible for.
That's right. It sort of pervades everything we're trying to do because a lot of the efficiency gains and the campaign to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse is really driven by some of the oversight we're able to bring through technology.
Now, let's delve deeper into that technology. Now, you oversee the Interior Department's management of IT, but how does that relate to the Chief Information Officer? Because I know, and we'll talk about this later as well, big changes came to the Interior Department's management of IT over the last year or so.
Yeah, that's right. The CIO is part of my organization. We work very collaboratively together. Basically, Secretary Salazar asked me when he brought me on board to take a look at sort of some of the fundamental challenges we have with IT here at the department and come up with, in conjunction with our IT community, a strategic plan for really transforming the way the department approaches IT.
That transformation now, the CIO obviously has authority over a lot of what's going on from the reorganization. Where do you come in? Do you kind of oversee the ideas, the policy that the CIO is making? Or are you more at a broader level to make sure things are connected throughout the department, for instance, with the National Business Center or some of the other portfolios, the geospatial?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. The CIO is part of my organization, and so I provide administrative guidance and oversight. But I'm also trying to tie together the work that we're doing in IT with the broader political objectives of the organization. I'm really sort of that layer between kind of the political leadership and the getting it done of IT throughout the department.
And I imagine you're also the one that reports up to the Secretary and the Deputy Secretary about what's going on with IT and make sure things happen, pushing it down a little bit.
That's exactly right. My boss is the Assistant Secretary for Policy Management and Budget, and she, the Deputy Secretary, and the Secretary are all keenly interested in following the progress of what we're doing around IT.
And why wouldn't they be? Let's talk a little bit about that reorganization. Last December, Interior Secretary Salazar sent a memo saying we're going to change the way we do technology oversight, change the title of Bureau Chief Information Officers to Assistant Directors for Information Resources. What's the reaction to that change? How's it going?
So it was kind of a watershed event for us, to be honest with you. We really took a step back and said, you know, we can chip away at the edges. There were some very strategic things we had already started to really go for the low-hanging fruit. And we realized that if we wanted to be truly successful at a transformational change, we had to change the nature of the game around IT. And so we thought about a couple of areas, namely sort of how IT is managed and sort of how strategic decisions are made about IT. And we really sought to enhance the authority of the CIO to really provide a strong leadership role for the department. The big change really is that we're in the process of consolidating the way IT is delivered, and we're trying to think about IT more as a service and a business value that's delivered to, you know, bureaus and field-level employees rather than a collection of assets, people, and things. It's really, you know, kind of a fundamental shift in how you think about how IT delivers value to the business.
I know for years Interior was one of those agencies that had, from a headquarters standpoint, had a lot of trouble getting the bureaus to fall in line. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but I mean, this is the path we're going. Was that part of the reason why that reorganization happened?
It's a great question. I mean, it really was an issue that we struggled with. The way I would characterize it is that the department has a series of bureau cultures that are very proud, very strong, very independent, and that's actually one of the great things about this department. It also makes it hard to sort of step back and think about what are the things that we are doing that are redundant, that could actually be streamlined, right? Where are those opportunities for the department? So part of the secretarial order that we issued in December was really, you know, sort of to try to take a crack at this sort of honoring the culture and bringing in the diversity of perspectives in the department, yet at the same time making sure that our CIO had both the authority and the responsibility to make responsible decisions for the department.
How have the bureaus taken to this change? I mean, that's a hard change because all of a sudden you're going from, well, I was a CIO to now a new title of Assistant Director for Information Resources, and it seems a little bit, and you'll have to forgive me, like we're back in the 1990s, 1980s when IRM was the big push, information resource management.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that change is hard. There have been some challenges, but by and large, I think the overall sort of approach we've taken has been very collaborative, and the bureaus have, you know, for the large part, embraced the objectives of what we're trying to do. I think they're appropriately skeptical. They want to see us deliver, and we, you know, hopefully are close to making our first set of quick wins later this year that will, you know, sort of, I think, underscore the fact that we're serious about what we're doing. We are making change, and we are progressing in the right direction, but, you know, there has been a little bit of the, you know, we're not really sure how much, you know, we can really buy into this because you haven't really shown us you can deliver yet. And so we're working very closely with them. The strategic plan that we issued in July, the detailed implementation plans that we're now working on with the bureaus has all been done, you know, in very close collaboration with these, you know, formerly CIOs, now Assistant Directors for Information Resources.
As you were kind of describing it, the thing that comes to mind, of course, is the idea of culture change. That's the hardest thing. Recently talking about cloud computing and the idea of culture change, and that's what we hear time and again in government. How are you guys dealing with that issue? I mean, are you organizing brown bag lunches? Is it a governance issue? Give me a sense of the steps you guys are specifically taking to bring those former CIOs into the fold so they buy in.
That's the $64 million question. It is a significant challenge and one that we are basically trying to strike on all cylinders, right? And so one of the things we've learned is that you can't communicate enough on what you're doing and how you're doing it, where you are in the process. There really is just no limit to the amount of information. So we started things like we did these information gathering sessions with field employees throughout the country. We met with close to 2,000 employees. We had something like 70-some field sessions. It was an exhausting travel schedule, but because we wanted to have senior IT executives on the road, really sitting down with employees and sort of gathering from them, what are the things that make it hard for you to do your job? What are the tools that if you had access to would actually make it easier for you to do your job? And that has helped a lot in that, you know, I think folks saw that, one, it was a huge time commitment, but it was also really time really well spent because we were able to formulate ideas based on, you know, when I was out, you know, I conducted however many dozen of those sessions, I heard from time and time again that this is a really important issue. So let's put that up on the top of our list. If we can crack this nut, it actually gets us a lot further down the road of making sure that IT is delivering value both to bureaus and to the field employees who are actually out there executing the mission. And I think, just to sum up, I think that's really the key to culture change, at least here in this department. I have found that people in this department are passionate about executing the mission of their bureau. And so if there is a strong sense that what we're doing actually gets them closer to being able to execute their mission more effectively, they're on board. If they sense that we're not going in that direction, that's when they show the hesitation.
And if you can, just real quick, give me kind of if you can quantify it in some way, would you say you got 60% buy-in? Are you at 80% buy-in? Is it hard to quantify in terms of the feeling you're getting from the people in the field?
I'd say it's pretty hard to quantify. I mean, I think that by and large, the reception by the field employees was extremely appreciative. There was a sense, thank you so much for coming out to talk to us, because this is the first time somebody from Washington has ever actually traveled all the way out to my outpost on the edge of civilization to hear what I think about something. I really appreciate that. The bureau levels, the higher you get, the more you get some of that institutional, what does this really mean to us as an institution? And I think we're sort of working through those challenges. But as I said, the more we can sort of say, well, we believe this change is important because your employees told us that they really needed this, we're able to get, I think, a lot more traction and speak credibly that we're really trying to do something that's for the benefit of the department as a whole.
All right, very nice. I think it's one of those things that time's going to tell. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk more about some of the changes you're making and the way Interior Department manages its technology. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our very special guest today is Andrew Jackson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services at the Interior Department. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Andrew Jackson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services at the Interior Department. Now, Andrew, before break, you talked a little bit about the reorganization around technology, you know, changing the bureau-level CIOs to become assistant directors for information resources, really taking a major shift in the way Interior deals with technology. And you mentioned something that kind of caught my ear, a couple quick wins that are coming up. I got to ask the question, what's coming up? Can you give us a little bit of a heads up?
Sure. Well, we actually have a number of initiatives that we've started. There are a couple that I think I'd like to highlight. In thinking about these quick wins, that we felt we had to really prove that we heard what our employees had to say. We had to really show that we listened and that it was really important to us to actually deliver real value. So one of the things that we heard on the road a lot, actually, is that because of the way we're organized, we had bureaus that might be, they're in very remote locations. They might have, locations, you might have two bureaus that are not too far apart from one another, and yet the IT organization for one is here, the IT organization for the other is 150 miles away. And so for them to be able to actually share local IT support resources across bureau lines is an impossibility at this point because of authorities, administrative privileges, and a whole host of other things that really have nothing to do with IT. They really have to do with the way we've organized ourselves and the way we put together our policies. So we're looking at it in the big picture of how to sort of tear down those walls and allow for sort of a common sense sharing of IT, local IT resources, to really sort of enhance the access to support that everybody in these remote locations can receive. We've targeted a pilot project in two locations in the western U.S. where we've actually been able to sort of systematically tear down all of the barriers that were causing bureaus to have a challenge with supporting each other. The other is a smaller project, but is one that we've been thinking about for some time. It's the launch of an externally accessible SharePoint. Bureaus were asking us for the ability to share information with outside partners and other agencies that we deal with, other federal agencies and non-governmental organizations, which a lot of our bureaus actually deal with regularly, to be able to share information, documents, work on projects together was something that previously wasn't possible. And so we've now stood up and by the end of September, we'll have a fair number of users in an external SharePoint environment that we think will actually really foster a greater sense of collaboration throughout the bureaus.
Well, I definitely want to follow up with you as some of those wins come through. But one quick one on the SharePoint. You got to ask the question, is it in the cloud? Is it a cloud-based kind of SharePoint software? Or is it something where it's on the internal sites of Interior but can be reached by maybe a username, password type of setup?
This one is actually, to get it going fast, we actually stood it up on an Interior equipment that is accessible, from outside of the Interior network. Long term, obviously, we want to look at, the ability to move all of our SharePoint environments to a cloud-based environment because of the scalability and flexibility they provide. But the importance here was to demonstrate progress and show speed and not let perfection be the enemy of doing something that was actually good.
And roughly, do you know offhand how many people are using it? And when we talk, it's government agencies, it's non-government organizations, and the idea is with SharePoint is document sharing, tracking of just communication, make it easier. Is that correct?
I think that's right. The actual number at this point of this external SharePoint site is fairly small. I think we targeted actually a couple of projects that specifically said, hey, could you help us out right now? We have an urgent need. And so that was kind of the goal. I think we plan, now that it's stood up, we see that expanding fairly quickly.
All right, let me shift gears on you a little bit more about that memo, though. But one of the big areas about the memo that you guys changed was giving the CIO budget authority to really make a difference in terms of the way the IT is bought and overseen. And that's a big change because one thing about CIOs from my coverage over the last decade, it feels like, covering the federal government, is CIOs always say, if I don't have the budget, there's not much I can do. My influence only goes so far. But having that budget is so key. You hear it at the Veterans Affairs Department. You hear it at Homeland Security. Give me a sense of that decision. What was it about? And then what's the impact has it had so far?
It's important to clarify. We didn't actually transfer those budgets that had previously been set aside for IT at the bureaus to the department. And I don't know that we ever will. I think what we did was, as I said, we tried to strengthen the authority of the CIO. And so what we established was the ability of the CIO to essentially direct how those funds are spent. In the future, we believe that what we'll be doing is actually standing up an enterprise services catalog, thinking of IT as a service, and bureaus will be able to select from that catalog as we provide for the needs of the business. And so we believe that, most bureaus today don't have a specific line item for particular, IT projects. They may have specific investments. They may have certain things identified, but they don't typically have IT goes into a bucket, right? And so we believe that's actually, in a way, that's sort of forward thinking, because that's the way it should be, is it should be the businesses decide side. What are the things I need? How do I need to communicate with the public? What are the services that I need to actually take advantage of that? And that's how we've sought to transform the role of their former CIOs to think as a strategic partner to the business to help them match up those services that the department has lined up as available and make sure that bureaus have access to it. So in terms of the budget, what's happening is that, you know, bureaus will basically have, you know, funds set aside and the ability to tap into resources the bureau has set aside for services. The CIO, you know, the important thing that's changed is the CIO actually determines which services and how those services are managed, and it's his responsibility to be essentially a managed service provider to the rest of the department.
But in many ways, if Program X wants to get a new software tool, and it's data analytics, to pull it out of the hat, and they pick a tool, doesn't that have to go to the CIO who says, yes, that fits in our enterprise architecture, or actually, no, you can't use it because you can't buy a new one because we already have a license over here that this other bureau, and you can just piggyback on their license. I mean, that's really what the authority has become. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. The purpose of establishing that authority, you know, the benefit you gain from it is not necessarily efficiency. What you get from that is the visibility, the oversight. So, for example, we were criticized in the past by outside agencies that looked at how we were spending our money. Why are you standing up a new document management system when you already have six? The reality was those old document management systems were embedded in other investments. We hadn't sort of taken the step back and say, well, if we approach this from an enterprise perspective, we'd actually get, you know, higher performance, a better ability to share documents, and probably a lower cost. But because they were always looked at as independent investments, no one had ever taken that enterprise view. And that's what giving the CIO the authority to oversee the way the money is spent allows us and effectively requires him to take on behalf of the department an enterprise view to how we spend our funds.
In many ways, I mean, that's the key. I mean, whether the CIO gets the money in a bucket or whether they just have the sign-off on all technology buys, in the end, the benefit is they do control the money.
I think that's right. I mean, I would say yes and no, right? It's a sort of a nuanced answer, but it's bureau money, and we never forget that, right? It's money that was set aside by Congress for bureaus to execute particular missions, and we never forget that. What we're saying is that, you know, we believe it's important to direct how that money is spent so that it is spent more wisely on behalf of the American taxpayers.
And I know those enterprise services is something you're seeing across every agency. They're looking at, okay, what can we provide as a commodity? The OMB put out a recent memo telling basically secretaries that CIOs now have the overview of commodity IT. I think that all plays into it, which actually is a great segue to your new IT strategic plan, because a lot of what's in your strategic plan probably is going to touch upon some of those enterprise services. So just give me a sense of what's discussed in the plan. How does it really lay out the roadmap for the Interior Department's technology future?
Our strategic plan, we're really proud of, I have to say. I think our collaborative effort with the Bureau has really paid off. What we tried to do in that plan was establish at a fairly high level kind of the broad strategic direction that the department is taking. And we tried to outline both some of the decisions that we had made along the way. It was really kind of a milestone report in a lot of ways of where we were 6 months into the effort and sort of how we saw the shape of the future, you know, coming into focus for us. We identified in that plan, importantly, 11 service areas. We, you know, we sort of start with the proposition that our secretarial order requires all infrastructure for the department to come under the ownership and management of the departmental CIO. And so if you start with that proposition, the question is, what are the services that you need to ensure are provided so you don't drop any of the balls in the air? And so we identified 11 key service areas, and within those, some sort of key service portfolio opportunities that outline, I think, the broad picture of what our future enterprise service catalog is going to look like. For example, we have one of our service areas is unified messaging. That's very important to the department, and we believe that it is critical that the department provide an enterprise-wide unified messaging service that has certain features to it. It's critical to the way we function. Another is telecommunications, et cetera. There's data centers and hosting is a third, and the list goes on. We've included all of the A130 compliance areas as well as the sort of enterprise service areas because we also importantly see compliance to the department as also a service, right? You need to think of it as you're providing an important compliance function on behalf of the department.
Let's go take a quick break and we'll come back. Let's talk more about that strategic plan. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Andrew Jackson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services at the Interior Department. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Andrew Jackson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services at the Interior Department. Now, Andrew, before break, we talked a little bit about your new IT strategic plan that you guys released in July. Give me a sense of what comes first. How are you tackling those 11 areas all at once, a few at a time? Do you have some short-term, some long-term goals?
We actually identified 7 of those 11 as really the priorities. I would have liked it for it to be a little smaller. But I think when we looked at it as a group, those were the ones that we felt we had to sort of make incremental progress on all 7 of those before we could really tackle the rest. So within those, we've identified key projects that would allow us to demonstrate progress and get us toward the ultimate goal of a few years from now having all of the infrastructure owned and managed at the department. And so that where we are in the process is we're essentially developing very detailed implementation plans for each of those 7 priority service areas. Those plans are due December 31st. We brought in on board a world-class consultant to help us in the development of those plans. So it's a joint effort of the department, the bureaus, and our consultants to develop these detailed implementation plans. In the meantime, we're identifying, as I said earlier, some of these quick wins, opportunities that actually move us in the direction we need to go, allow us to demonstrate that we actually heard what our customer said and that we are actually making progress on those and point to the future of IT for the department.
Along those 7 priority areas, do you foresee being able to have deliverables every 6 to 12 months, every 3 to 6 months? I mean, obviously, there's a big push across the government for what they call agile development. I'm not sure if this fits specifically into that. That usually talks about software development, but do you have that? Is that what the milestones include?
That's very much the strategy we're taking. I have instructed our teams to come up with, as they develop detailed implementation plans, milestone schedules that allow us to deliver incremental value no less than 3 months in 3-month increments. I think it's really important, and that's ultimately why those 7 areas sort of bubbled to the top, is that we felt we had to show incremental progress on each of them with sort of regular iterations of, you told us you had a problem, here's what we solved. Sort of iterations of value periodically.
I know that the implementation plans are still being worked on. They're a few months out, so you may not have a lot of details on them yet, but do you foresee a mix of solutions to this, meaning maybe it could be some contracting, maybe some RFPs that will come from it to buy some new services? It could be just consolidation internally. Can you give me kind of a sense of the vision you have?
That's a great question. That's actually one of the things we felt it was really important to establish in terms of kind of the guiding principles that we laid out in our strategic plan. Basically, what we committed was that we were not going to presuppose any solutions. We were going to make common sense decisions across the board. So in some cases, I think we will find that there are functions that is important for us to continue to do as a department, and we will always envision maintaining those services. Other areas, we will probably find that there are private sector providers who would be able to provide us better services at a lower price point with better security, sort of a win-win-win across the board. And so we're committed to, in every case, identifying what's the need for the department, what's that, solution that accomplishes the majority of the goals, how do we take care of those margins, really kind of thinking through the challenges and doing kind of an actual business case analysis in every line of business that we are seeking to launch.
Is there concern that the budget issues that every agency is facing is going to hamper this effort at all?
Absolutely. It weighs very heavily on us because, there are areas where if you're able to migrate to a managed service, you can just stop doing what you were doing and realize almost immediate benefits, for the most part. There are a lot of cases where that's not true. Data center consolidation, a lot of it requires investment to virtualize your equipment, for example, move data centers, consolidate data centers. And so we are concerned about being hit with, sort of budget cuts at exactly the time when we're trying to make smart investments that will allow us to operate at a much lower cost point for the foreseeable future.
Do you have plan A, plan B, plan C yet, or is it still maybe too early because, these implementation plans are in the process?
It's still a little too early to say what our actual plans are because we are, in fact, developing these implementation plans. For the most part, I think the department and OMB and I think members of Congress recognize that if we were going to increase spending in any part of the department, this would be one of the places you'd want to do it because it will have long-term dividends for the American people if we're able to actually realize some of the strategic objectives that we've outlined.
It's a tough argument to make. Spend a little to save a lot, but you guys are going to have your work cut out for you with Congress. One area that we're seeing a lot of push for is around cloud computing, a lot of push around government to say, okay, this can really save us some money. Let's start with the hard question first, and then we'll go easier on you. The Interior Department had awarded a contract for email as a service obviously got protested. It's been hung up in court. Is there anything you can tell us? Is there anything new going on there?
Unfortunately, there's not a lot I can say. We're still in litigation. We don't really have an update at this time. The only thing I can really say is the department does really believe that cloud computing, cloud messaging is a very strategic opportunity for us, and we are committed to pursuing that when and if and when we're allowed to do so.
Let's talk about cloud more generally. We'll get off an email since I know that's out of your control in many ways. Where else are you looking at cloud to really improve services around Interior Department? You talked about enterprise services. A lot of that could be on the cloud. A lot of it could be just hosted internally at a place like the National Business Center, which I know is a big user of the cloud as well.
That's right. I mean, I think we're looking at sort of a mix of cloud opportunities. We see our data center consolidation initiative being largely influenced by cloud computing. And in fact, we're looking at those opportunities to move our applications lock, stock, and barrel into cloud applications as a way to reduce the size of some of our data centers or to actually eliminate some of our data centers. So that's a huge opportunity. We obviously, you know, we're looking for messaging, which is a significant opportunity for us. I think, as I said earlier, we're really trying to make sort of common sense decisions, and so we're not necessarily saying that everything has to be in the cloud, but we have adopted what has been affectionately described as our no iron policy. So we're trying to avoid really, you know, when I've had several bureaus come to me and say, you know, I really need to sort of stand up this new service or this new opportunity, I need to communicate with the public, I need to do something that requires, in theory, the, you know, the purchase of new equipment, and invariably the response is, well, you know, why haven't you immediately first considered, you know, whether you can meet your needs through cloud computing.
How challenging is that? I mean, do you have this feeling that, well, we already have, for instance, the National Business Center that does a lot around cloud. Do you kind of feel that pull to kind of keep it internally?
I wouldn't say it has been a challenge in terms of making good decisions. I think that, you know, we're fairly conscious of what the capabilities are at the National Business Center. We're committed to taking advantage of those capabilities wherever we can. We're also conscious of what the limitations are, and we know that there are cases where it really absolutely makes sense to look at outside vendors. And so looking at the outside vendor community, obviously we have to go through that analysis of, you know, are they properly certified? Are they, you know, do they have their FSMA accreditation? Have they gone through all the steps they need to go through to make sure that they can actually provide services to a large federal customer with the kinds of issues and, you know, security challenges that we face as federal agencies. There are pros and cons on both sides of that equation, and what we've tried to do is actually sit down with our customers and help them make good decisions.
Very good. On that note, we're going to say thank you very much. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our very special guest today was Andrew Jackson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Technology, Information, and Business Services at the Interior Department. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.